If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles this morning, Scripture will be taken from the 107th Psalm, the first 9 verses. Again, that's Psalm 107, 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things.
These words that were just read to us here from Psalm 107 declare the unchanging truth regarding the nature of our God. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever, and then let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We ought to, in the presence of people around us in the world, by the lives that we live, declare the goodness of God. Give thanks to Him for all that He has blessed us with, for the many ways in which we see His goodness, are recipients of His goodness, and have hope of enduring everlasting goodness that comes from God. And all of these things relating to the promises of God are bound to the reality of His nature, which will never change. That He is a good God, and He desires goodness for all people. This psalm is filled with declarations of the goodness of God, and that His people ought to declare and acknowledge His goodness and be thankful for all that He has done. Because our God is a God who does provide for His people and deliver His people. When you look at these words here in the verses we just read, 1 through 9, it may take your mind back to the many occasions when in the Old Testament, God reached out to His people and helped them. You know, they got themselves into trouble over and over again. And the trouble that they found themselves in was trouble that they brought upon themselves. When we forsake God, when we turn away from Him, bad things can and they do happen. Sin brings suffering at times. And that was the situation that the children of Israel found themselves in over and over again. He gathered out of the lands, verse 3, from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. They wandered in a wilderness, in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. Here we see a picture of people just without direction. It really describes to us the human problem of not knowing the way, which only God can show us. And He provides the solution. He provides the direction. He is the good God who leads us in the paths of salvation. He led them forth, verse 7, by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. There is a right way, and that implies there are many wrong ways. Most people in the world have chosen a way to follow, and unfortunately, it's like, you know, the sign that you see on those cartoons that is pointing in the wrong direction because somebody came by or something happened and it went all around and now it's going pointing people in the wrong direction. We need to point it in the right direction. God's Word shows us the right way, because there are many ways that people have been blinded by, and they don't know the way of truth and righteousness. He has led us in the right way, that we might go to a city for a dwelling place. There is a place prepared for people that God, through His Word, is gathering together and preparing so that they might inherit that new city where righteousness dwells. And therefore, verse 8, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with goodness." There are things that people can't even put into words that in this world today, people feel a sense of lack or something missing from their lives. And they are searching for happiness. They're searching for satisfaction. They try to find it in the gratification of fleshly desires and things like that. But that only leads oftentimes to additional trouble and suffering and a realization that those things cannot and never will satisfy. But God fills to the full the soul that longs for and searches for true meaning in life. And that only comes when we begin to reflect on and search out the side of life that we can't see with the eyes. It doesn't relate to the physical body. It doesn't relate to material physical appetites. It has to do with the spiritual side of man. And that's what God supplies to us in abundance. And it's that direction which we can't find ourselves that God leads us in. And He shows us the way, and He provides satisfaction and fills those who are hungry. Today, as we reflect upon the Word of God, we see, in fact, that we have so much to be thankful for. There are many things that we could talk about. Today, we're just going to look at a few. We'll speak about deliverance, about guidance, about patience, and finally assurance. Because in a special way, these things God has done for us, provided us with, been to us. And because of these things, we can give thanks to God because of what we have because of Him and what He has done for us. The first point that we talk about, the idea of deliverance, begins with a thought going back to those ancient times when the people of God found themselves in slavery. So here is the people that God said He was going to make His own. These are the descendants of Abraham. God said to him, "You know, through you I will bring blessings to all the world. Your descendants will be like the stars of the heaven, like the sand on the seashore." And they did grow in great number, but they were imprisoned, you might say. They were slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Pharaoh during those times oppressed them. They were treated harshly, and they cried out to God, and He heard. And He raised up a deliverer, and through Moses, God brought the people out of slavery, from the midst of ungodliness, immorality, idolatry, all the things that characterize Egypt. He took them out of that environment and began to lead them to hope, to freedom, from bondage, slavery, to a place of freedom where they would have their own land. They would be subject to no person. They would have great prosperity and blessings, happiness, a land described as flowing with milk and honey. This is what God said will be yours. I'm going to give it to you. This is the promised land that God spoke about. But the reality is that was sort of a type of the real thing. Because even if God gave us our own land, wealth and prosperity, the reality is this earth is going away. We're going to live here for a while and then we're going to die. And we're going to leave that land and that house and everything we worked for on this earth to somebody else. And as Solomon said, who knows what he'll do with it? He may squander it. But if we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, no one can take that away. And that's what God gives us. Because the deliverance that God gives us is not from physical slavery, but from spiritual. He takes us from the many things that cause souls to be without hope to a place of hope where we have a future of freedom and blessing and happiness to look forward to that will never end and that cannot be taken away. We are delivered by God from sin, from slavery. If we turn over in our Bibles in the New Testament to the book of Romans, in chapter 6, the Apostle Paul speaks about that deliverance. You see, we have, when we came to God, been delivered from sin and what that really represents. Because actually, what do we do when we sin? How do we commit sin? By breaking the law of God. And typically that's tied to gratifying fleshly desires. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the vain pride of life. And there are things in this life, they entice us. So we do that. We grab a hold of that and we enjoy that temptation. We commit sin. But when we come to Christ, the mindset has changed and we now know that's not the way to live. Committing sin leads me to death. And the reality is when you commit sin, you're a slave to sin. People all around us we see in this world become slaves to their desires. Addicted to the pleasures of life. Even those in Christ, sometimes we struggle, don't we? With things that we know in our minds, I shouldn't do this, or I should be doing this. But because of long-standing practice, or because of maybe a lack of love that's as deep as it should be for God, or our own weakness in various ways, we don't do as we should. We commit sin. But God shows us here, Paul, in Romans chapter 6, that we should not continue in sin, verse 1, that we have died to sin, verse 2. He explains, verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to death? To righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So it's a shifting of the mind based on what you have realized. Sin condemns my soul. Jesus delivers me from sin. He died for me. So I can't keep sinning. Clearly not. So now I look at myself as a slave of righteousness. I do what is right. And that leads me to life eternal. So the Lord delivers us out of sin, out of slavery. Colossians 1 and verse 13 explains to us that we are delivered out of darkness. Let's look at that. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have been delivered. Delivered from the power of darkness. Darkness is the way of Satan. Darkness is the way of the world. Darkness is sin. It's the gratification, the ongoing gratification of fleshly desire, of a mindset that says, I can do as I please. But God instead has taken us from darkness, brought us into the kingdom, made us a redeemed people who are forgiven. We've been delivered from death. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul says these words. He says, speaking about Christians, and he says to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. You know, the death that we have been delivered from is that which is called the second death, not physical dying, all will die, but the second death, which is eternal separation from God, which is tied to the wrath of God, is what we're delivered from. Because sin, persisted in, instead of repented of, will lead us to being cast into hell, separated from God forever. But Jesus came, and He is the one who, as it says here, delivers us from the wrath to come. We don't have to be like the rest of the world, cast into that place because of the wrath of God upon those who reject His Word, who will not obey Him, who continue to live for self. We've been freed from that, delivered from that through Jesus Christ. We won't be subject to the wrath of God. We can live in such a way that God will be pleased with us. So God, through His Son, delivers us from slavery, from darkness, from death, and thereby the deliverance from God's wrath as well. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 also conveys that same idea. Now, whom you forgive, he says, let's see, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10 says, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. You see, he explains the nature of sin is such that we are condemned in that situation. Apart from Christ, we're condemned. Look at verse 9. Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Who, and then he speaks about this deliverance, the deliverance we still hope for. God is our deliverer. And in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul also mentions this concerning Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. We live certainly in what could be described as evil times, an evil age. People devote themselves to self-seeking and to the way that is right in their own eyes. This is really not a new pattern for humanity, but it's something nonetheless that we must be delivered from. The way that we're delivered from this present evil age is through the light of the gospel, which shows us, here you are in this world of sin. Most of the world is devoted to sin, even though some claim to be devoted to good things. They follow other religions that are not of Christ. They follow perverted teachings of the gospel of Christ, which cannot save. But they, in essence, because of the blindness, are lost and are a part of this present evil age. Jesus delivers us from it through the light of the gospel. We can give thanks to God each and every day for the deliverance that is only made possible through His Son, who willingly died upon the cross, who gave Himself for us. He has taken us, made possible for us to escape the slavery, the darkness, the death that everyone is in apart from Jesus Christ. Through Him, we found the way, the deliverance. And that leads us really to this second point we want to consider, and that is the guidance that God gives. You know, when Jesus, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, with those last words that He was speaking to His disciples, you remember? He was telling them to go and make disciples of all the nations. And here's how they were to do that. They were to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then He says they were to teach them. So initially, you've got to get people convinced that Jesus is the Christ. And based on the belief that they have, then they are baptized into Christ, as God teaches, so their sins can be washed by His blood. And then they must continually be taught And what that amounts to is the guidance that God continues to give. Because it's through His Word that God talks to us today. He guides us through His Word. And so, new babes in Christ, and we ourselves have to receive that guidance from God by studying His Word, by coming together times like this, by teaching our children, by talking to other people in the world who might be guided by doctrines of men instead, away from God. We've got to look to His Word. That's the way He guides us. Ongoing guidance is desperately needed. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So it's not something that we will receive the benefit of if we don't open the Bible and search it out and meditate upon it day and night, like the Scriptures teach. Then we'll be without the guidance of God, and we will be guided, but by all kinds of ideas and influences of the world, and that will take us away from God. The way to see the clear path is through the guidance that God gives through His Word, and that takes time and effort. And certainly the souls that depend upon us as the mouthpieces for God need and deserve our spending that time and putting forth the effort so that we can instruct our family members, children, friends and neighbors, people we know, even our enemies whom we're to love and hope that they would turn to Christ as well. In Luke chapter 1, we have the words spoken by Zacharias, who is the father of John the Baptist. It was on the occasion when he had been given the ability to speak once again. You remember he was made mute. And then he spoke. And he spoke at that time prophetic words pertaining to his son, John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner for Jesus. And there in Luke chapter 1, toward the end of his prophetic words, beginning in verse 76, he says, and this particular phrase here relates to his son, toward John, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord." So John would be the prophet of the highest who would go before the face of the Lord. He would prepare his ways. He would make ready the way of Jesus Christ. Verse 77, "to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." And so we read these words about John and about Jesus would be, of course, the one who would bring salvation, would bring the possibility of remission of sins. The truth would come to humanity. That's the light that would be given. The light will shine. The truth will shine forth. And today in our world, this is a description of how it's been with humanity. That we live in a world full of sin. We live in a world full of darkness and death, because without God and the guidance that He gives, we don't have direction. We don't have an understanding of how to meet our own needs and prepare for the inevitable future. Everyone dies. What's after that? The unseen world. People await in either paradise or torment for the judgment day, where everyone will be eternally separated, either being in heaven or hell. And based upon how we live in this life, did we embrace and accept the guidance that God gave, or did we reject it? That's the decision we have to make. And every day, God seeks to guide us through His Word. We either search Him out, try to find out more, understand His will better, or we say, you know what? I'd rather be doing these other things. And our world is full of other things. Enticements, pleasures, other distractions of life, and our knowledge of spiritual things is skin deep. We know hardly anything. And we can't communicate the message to others. We don't know how to guide people. We ourselves aren't being guided. We can't allow that to happen. Instead, We must love and cherish the truth, seek it out, delight in it, and God most certainly will open our eyes, increase our faith, develop our understanding, give us knowledge. That's what His Word supplies to us. As Paul said to Timothy, the Word of God is able to make us wise unto salvation. That's what we should delight in. That's what we should seek out every day and spend time with our families devoted to understanding together. We need guidance. Jesus, before He left this world, indicated that the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all truth. And now we have the message of the Holy Spirit, the new covenant, perfectly conveyed, completed. And we have the testimony of the Holy Spirit. We have the direction and the guidance that we need. And God continues to guide us in our living on this earth. Titus 2:11 and 12 reminds us, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." There's some guidance for us. We can't be like the rest of the world. We have to deny all that fleshly stuff and instead live with the proper mindset, spiritually focused. We also remember 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. "Do not love the world." He guides us with these words. "Or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away." Why put your love and your focus and your emphasis in life upon things that are temporal, that are passing away? Instead, notice what he says, "But he who does the will of God abides forever." Focus on God's will. What does He want you to do with the 24 hours every day that He gives you? Focus on the will of God. Be alert to the lusts of this world. Because if you want to live forever, He says this must be your focus. And of course, we noted on Wednesday night, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, where the Apostle Peter speaks about some if statements, some conditional statements. And we know that as Christians, we can't afford to be unfruitful. We know what happens with the tree that does not bear fruit. It gets cut down. It gets cast into the fire. So Peter says, if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you do these things, verse 10, you will never stumble. For so an entrance, we want the doors wide open. We want to be granted entrance. "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you do what things? With all diligence you build upon your faith. You develop and grow virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love." You see, we are indeed guided by God. We can give thanks that God not only has delivered us, but throughout life He continues to give us guidance because He wants us to be with Him. And here's the third thing. We can be thankful for the patience of God. Even though He guides us, we often fail Him. We don't live as we should, but He is patient. Romans 2 and verse 4 says, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Here is a God who knows that we will often fail Him, and thus He is very patient with us. He sees our struggle against sin. He's long-suffering. We have so many examples of that quality of God seen throughout the Old Testament when the people of God deserted Him, and yet He patiently reached out to them and tried to restore them. Sometimes they responded to Him and God received them back. He wants that for all of us. He's a patient God. He's not willing that anyone should perish. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, "But all He desires that they repent and come back to Him." He is a patient God. And then the final thing that we would mention this morning is that we can be thankful for the assurance that God gives us. Jesus when he spoke to his followers about his departure, he knew that those words would concern them. Jesus, who was their leader, Jesus to whom they looked for guidance, was saying to them, I'm going to be leaving you. But he says to them in John 14, beginning in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Even though physically Jesus left and has gone away, he still is with us, and he still reminds us through passages just like this. He assures us that we have a place to look forward to, and that promise will most certainly be brought to pass when he returns to receive us. Jesus is coming back again. The assurance is if you remain steadfast and you follow the guidance given to you, that one day you will be where my word leads you. You will be in heaven. And you will inherit eternal life. We have full assurance of hope as we read in Hebrews chapter 6. And in Galatians 6 and verse 9, we're told, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Remember the promises of God. Life is very hard. There are difficulties that we face, but if you continue day after day, never giving up, and you sow, you will reap according to the righteous ways that you are living. God gives assurance that we will inherit eternal life. Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16 remind us of the faithful who hadn't received the promises, we're told, but they saw them afar off and were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers on the earth. That's what all of God's people always are. On this earth, strangers, pilgrims, but people assured of the steadfast promises of God of eternal life. We can give thanks to God this day for His deliverance, for His guidance, His patience, and His assurance that one day we will be with Him forever. Therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. He is a good God. We have much to live for because of the fact that He died for us. If you today are not a Christian, you can turn to Christ and have hope this very hour. Forgiveness of sins, because His blood will cleanse you. You have to believe that Jesus is God's Son and turn from a life of sin in repentance. You have to confess your faith and be baptized so that your sins can be washed away and then live for Jesus. If you wandered and need to come home, be thankful that God will receive you, for He will. And let us help you and pray for you at this time as we stand and as we sing.